Welcome to an uplifting word as we go to the Bible today and find the victor's memory. As the young David approached the Israeli armies, well-qualified soldiers failed in courage. The giant Goliath stood in the middle of the valley, shouting his defiant words to Israel. There was King Saul, a head and shoulders taller than anyone else. There were many, many warriors trained in military tactics. And yet, look at these well-qualified soldiers. 1 Samuel 17, verse 10 and 11.
Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified.
Listen to that. Saul, this monster of a man, was terrified and dismayed. All his soldiers were overcome with discouragement. Now listen to verse 24 of the same chapter.
When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear.
Unbelievable! They ran from Goliath in great fear. Here was a number, probably thousands of soldiers, well qualified, and yet they failed in courage. But now, let's look at an ill-qualified shepherd. Ill-qualified, not as a shepherd, but as a soldier. And yet, he succeeded where everyone else failed. 1 Samuel 17, verse 14 and 15.
David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem.
As the Israeli army faced the Philistines, David's three older brothers encamped with the army. And what does it say about the youngest brother, the youngest of seven? It says he went back and forth from the camp. He was basically a supply train for his brothers. He brought them food. He brought them water. He brought them clothing. He was nothing even similar to a soldier. Yet listen to verse 33, the same chapter.
Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth."
Nobody believed in David. Even the king said, "You can't go out and fight this man. He is trained in military science from his youth. He has military experience. You can't do it, David." And yet David succeeded where everyone else failed. The same chapter, 1 Samuel 17, verse 38 and 39.
Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off.
Verse 49 says,
"Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground."
David tried Saul's military equipment, and yet it didn't work. So he took a sling and a stone, and with that, he destroyed the Philistine. Why in the world could someone so ill-qualified defeat the giant? How did others who were amply qualified fail in conquering the enemies of Israel? Well, the key lay in David's memory. David was controlled by a victor's memory. Everybody else was controlled by a defeated person's memory. Let's look at David as he talks about the past and the future. 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37.
But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.
David was controlled by a victor's memory. He said to Saul, God delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. And this same God would deliver me from this Philistine. He was controlled by a victor's memory, and he became victorious. Let me show you the result of a loser's memory. We go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to read verses 29 through 32. Here we see a loser's memory.
Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God.
Moses appealed to his people's memory. Whenever they were said, we don't want to enter the Canaan land, we are afraid of the people, Moses said, don't you recall all that God's done for you? But no, they were controlled by a loser's memory. Let's read again, Deuteronomy 1:32.
In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God.
They couldn't remember anything God had done for them. They were so terrorized, they were so fearful, that their fear drove out of their minds all past victories. But on that day, so long ago, David's memory, his victor's memory, propelled him into victory. So, brother, sister, we need a victor's memory. We need to acquire a victor's memory. Every one of us can be controlled by a victor's memory, just like David. Let me share with you how. First of all, we want to permit God's Spirit to fill us with mental self-control. We want to permit God's Spirit to fill us with mental self-control. We want to welcome the self-control the Holy Spirit puts within us. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit who entered you brought along with him a self-control that is better than anything any human can produce. Read with us, please. Galatians 5, verse 22, and a part of verse 23.
But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control.
There it is. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the product of the Holy Spirit, is self-control. So the Bible tells you right there that the Holy Spirit brought to you an ability to control your mind, to control your memory. He brought to us mental self-control. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Read about you and me again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7.
For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline.
Here it tells us, first of all, what God did not do. God did not give us a spirit of timidity. He did not give us a fearful spirit. But what did he give us? He gave us a spirit of self-control or self-discipline. So you see, brother, sister, every one of us who love Jesus has a spirit in us, the spirit of the God, the mighty God, who brings to us a superhuman self-control. What is self-control? Self-control is the ability to focus our thoughts on God. Self-control is the ability to focus our thoughts on God, no matter what's going on in us or around us. Dee and I once left a church that we loved. We had pastored this church for 15 years. The people loved us. We loved them. It was spiritually going through a wonderful revival. The people were numerous. We couldn't seat the people on Sunday mornings. Financially, it was a huge blessing to us. But we decided to move to Singapore, Southeast Asia, to minister the gospel in that part of the world. We left our church in Texas and moved to Houston. Rented an apartment. We were just going to see what God did next. We didn't know the next step. One evening in Houston, probably just a week or two after we moved there, I woke up terrified about 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. I was terrified. Here I was. I went from this wonderful church, this wonderful environment, financial security, to a life that had no future. I was living on my savings account. It was all outgo and no income. And as I laid there in bed, trying to get myself under control, I was struggling so violently that I got up and I went to the living room and sat down in the living room and began thinking and trying to get my mind, my fearful, terrified thoughts under control. I couldn't concentrate on anything. All I could see was future doom for James and Dolores Fields. But the Holy Spirit imparts self-control. And so here's what he did. As I sat in the living room, trying to read the Word, trying to read in my prayer journal, which records my thoughts during my private time with God, I was trying this and that, trying to get myself under control. The Lord asked me a question. Are you going to live by my promises or your explanations? Immediately I understood that my problem, my struggle was because I was trying to explain life, explain how I could ever make it to Southeast Asia. And finally I said, God, I choose to live by your promises, which defy human explanation. Immediately, peace flooded me. Peace of mind gripped me. And all my self-control was back. I returned to bed and slept like a baby for the rest of the evening. So, brother, sister, self-control is God giving you the ability to focus only on Him. Whenever the enemy is screaming, you can't defeat Goliath. You can't do this. You can't do that. You aren't this. You aren't that. No, we disregard all that shouts defeat into our ears because we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to enjoy mental self-control. But we need to spend time with the Holy Spirit. He imparts this ability during our fellowship time with Him. God wants to impart to you, my brother, sister, self-control that will keep you steady no matter how life treats you. Look at what happened to Moses when he spent 40 days and nights with the Lord on Mount Sinai. Look at what happened to him. Exodus 34, verse 29, verse number 30. Exodus 34, verse 29 and 30 says,
his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Aaron and all the Israelites saw his face was radiant.
Let's look then at Jesus in the book of Mark, chapter number 9, verse 2 and 3.
There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone could bleach them.
There Jesus was with his Father. And the Bible says he was transformed. His clothes became whiter than anyone could ever bleach them. You see, in God's presence, he absorbed God's likeness. Moses, in God's presence, absorbed God's likeness. So as you spend time with the Lord in the Word, in private praise, in private worship, or in church worship, the Holy Spirit will impart self-control to you and give you victory over all your fearful thoughts. Give you victory over all your thoughts that tell you that you're headed for defeat. So, brother, sister, permit the Holy Spirit's self-control to control you, to gain control of yourself. You see, the Holy Spirit's in us with that self-control, but we must welcome that self-control. We must give ourselves to it when we don't feel it. So David was controlled by a victor's memory. And that kept him focused on what God had done for him. The God who had delivered him from a lion and the God who had delivered him from a bear gave him confidence that he could destroy the Philistine. So, secondly, we want to pursue a victor's memory. Nobody is locked into a loser's memory. So many of us look at our past. It seems like there's nothing in the past that's pleasant, nothing in the past that's good. In truth, many, many people came from families, from environments that were filled with all kinds of chaos and turmoil. But please, brother, sister, none of us are locked into a loser's memory. We must believe that. Look at Brother Saul. He hated Christians. He hated Jesus. He persecuted God's people. He participated in the execution of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Saul had a horrible past, a memory filled with the screams of people begging for mercy when he arrested them and separated them from their children. And yet, listen to Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Here it says,
"Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead."
One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. So, brother, believe it. You can be freed from a loser's imagination, from a loser's memory. From a loser's memory. You can be freed from it. Listen to these words, Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 18.
"Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past."
How plain. I use that often. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. So, brother, sister, you can pursue a victor's memory. You can be freed from a loser's memory. You see, brother, sister, believers inherit a new history. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I like that word, creation. You became a new creation, so now you inherited a new history. You became one with victorious ancestors. So sure, maybe your history on this earth is filled with chaos, defeat, sin, turmoil. But now you have a new history. You have a whole list of victorious ancestors named Peter, James, John, Jesus, Moses, David, Isaiah. You can look to them. In fact, read about yourself in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 7. It says,
"Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham."
You are a child of Abraham. You are a believer in Jesus. And it says there that you became a descendant of Abraham. So, brother, sister, even if your family was criminal, even if your family was anti-God all the way, you have a new family. It's called believers. So what we want to do, we want to concentrate on our new family. We are a new creation. I like what Isaiah chapter number 9 calls Jesus. It says, He is Prince of Peace. He is the Counselor. And then it says, the Father. And I used to wonder about that word Father. I mean, Jesus is not Heavenly Father, and Heavenly Father is not Jesus, and yet it calls Jesus Father. And then it came to me one day, He is the Father of the new creation. Jesus, from Jesus has sprung every person who has been born again. He is our spiritual ancestor. Let's look to Him. So we want to pursue a victor's memory by believing that we are not locked into a loser's memory. And by remembering that we have a new family, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And then, thirdly, we want to permeate our memory with the believer's history book. We want to fill every cell of our spirit. We want to fill every cell of our brain with memories of the believer's history book. Yes, you have a new history, and you have a new history book. It tells about your ancestors who overcame the devil, the world, and sinful human nature. Let's read Joshua, please. Chapter number 1, verse number 8.
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
The first part of the verse, here again it says,
do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night.
Do not let this book out of your mouth, out of your brain, out of your sight. Meditate in the Word constantly. That doesn't mean 24 hours a day. Obviously, you have to give your mind to other activities. But it's saying every day, let this book fill your meditation, because this is your history book. And in this book, you will find victory. You will find hope. You will find peace, because this book records the history of God's victorious people. Especially, brother, sister, concentrate on Hebrews chapter 11. There, the New Testament writer went to the Old Testament and filled the whole 11th chapter of Hebrews with reminders of God's people who looked totally defeated, and yet they always overcame. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you will read about all those who are like you. They overcame, so you can too, my brother, sister. This history book predicts our victorious future. If your ancestors were victorious in the past, you will be victorious in the future. Listen to Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. Here it says,
for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope.
Everything in the past was written for us. Listen to the words again. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, the first part.
For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us.
Everything written in the past was written to teach us. It was written to teach us. So that through endurance and patience, we could overcome and be victorious in the future. Listen to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 8, here it says,
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever.
If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means that you are headed for victory. You can fill your memory with the believer's history book. You can fill your memory with thoughts of all those who went ahead of you and overcame. You see, a victor's memory creates a victor's imagination. And that's what we want, brother, sister. We want to be like David, who could see the future, and yet he saw the future as victorious. Everyone else around him predicted the future as a calamity because they did not have a victor's memory. But David gave himself over to a victor's memory, and that victor's memory created a victor's imagination. Read with us 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 37.
The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.
Notice now, he refers to the past. He refers to the past, and then he refers to the future. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear, and from the paw of the lion. He's talking about past. He's using past tense. Then he switches into future tense. Will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. His victor's memory created a victor's imagination. So, brother, sister, you want to work on creating in yourself and filling yourself with a victor's memory. We want to permit the Holy Spirit's self-control to enter us, to fill us, to dominate us. Let the Holy Spirit self-control give you mental self-control. Secondly, we want to pursue a victor's memory by believing that we're not locked into a loser's memory and by starting to concentrate on our spiritual ancestors. Thirdly, we want to permeate our memory with the believer's history books, the Bible, both Old and New Testament. And then, brothers and sisters, we will become people like David who enjoy a victor's memory. And that will lead us into a victor's imagination. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you who designed us to be victorious no matter what's going on around us. Lord, come by your precious Holy Spirit now and speak peace to our hearts and help us, God, see ourselves as new creatures in Christ Jesus with a new family tree and a new history book. Oh, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we exalt you for all our future victories. In the name of Jesus, amen.